time once again for the Dragon Cricket Podcast, broadcasting from the Dragon's lair, from the fiery bowels of our heritage grandstand at Maribyrnong Reserve, on the banks of the Saltwater River in Melbourne's inner west. On behalf of the 93 years young, still legendary, still here, local cricket institution, Barclay Street Uniting Cricket Club, it's time for the Purple Dragon to arise. The quest for local cricket gold. It's time to feel the fire. It's time for the Dragon Cricket Podcast. All right, welcome to the Dragon Cricket Podcast. It's me, Grizzly, and I'm here on the couch with Rev. How you going, Rev?
We are, mate. It's Cup Day. You might hear the helicopters buzzing overhead here between Footscray and Sunshine on their way to Flemington.
Yeah, the sounds of rifle shots as they take out the injured horses.
We're
not quite that close.
The protesters in the background there. Changing sporting environment that we're living in, mate. For cricket as well. We didn't play cricket this weekend, obviously.
That's right.
For the occasionals, the third 11, fixtured.
Well, no one played cricket on the weekend, did they? Because it was a shocking day weather-wise. People say it's classic Melbourne, but I don't remember when I was a kid it being 35 degrees at 6 p.m. on Friday and 12 degrees and pissing with rain at 10 a.m. on Saturday. That's pretty new for me. I don't, remember that from my childhood.
There's a bit going on there. I'll give you that. There's plenty of Octobers where we never played cricket.
Oh, for sure.
Because it was wet and cold.
But that's pretty extreme. I'm worried about the heat policy for the juniors on a Friday night. And literally going to be putting on woolly underwear for our seniors on Saturday.
Well, that was tricky. The trick of getting the covers down is one thing. I had to get them off as well. So I said I'd only get them off in the pouring rain so the grass can grow, of course. Yes, if I could wear my bathrobe. So if you look at the Barclay Street website, there's a great photo of Danny Lally and Adder and myself wearing the bathrobe, getting the covers up.
Yes, I did see that. I have had the pleasure of seeing you in your bathrobe before, but I think it's new for probably the people of Maribyrnong to see you wandering around the park there. What did you have underneath the robe, mate?
It's a bit like the Cornishman in his kilt, mate.
So did you have the cricket chocks on? The box on?
The box on.
The thigh pad.
I always tell the kids you got to wear the protective stuff underneath. Outside it's not a good look, but increasingly popular these days to go out to bat like you're having a net.
Yeah.
With the skins, with the skin tight, not much left to the imagination. You may as well bat in your bathrobe these days.
Well, I wear skins underneath my shirt. That's mostly to hold everything together. So I don't sort of collapse outside of my shirt. But I was taught that you had your thigh pad inside just because it could hit a strap or, it could sound like a nick.
Was
the word I had from, I don't know if it was Doc Blake or Ian Shattuck or one of those guys who coached me back in the day. Speaking of Ian Shattuck, you ran into him.
Shout out to Ian.
On the weekend.
Shout out to Ian Shattuck from, the Caroline Springs Cricket Club. I would tell some of my 10-year-olds that I played with this guy, your umpire, almost 40 years ago.
I know, isn't that crazy?
When we're about the same age.
One of the better bowlers I've actually played with, Ian Shattuck. He had tall guy, not heaps of pace, but good, just line and length.
Look, mate.
Got good bounce off the matting.
Great bounce. Yeah. Great bounce off a length.
Yeah.
That was all he had.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was.
Which is pretty impressive.
Well, yeah.
More than I had.
He did trouble many a batsman with his ungainly bowling action.
And his younger brother, was it Andrew? His younger brother?
Yes, that's right.
And he had the run-up where he kind of went in the straight line and he went around a little bit and then he kept going. And it was almost like he had a little tree stump or something on the ground in his backyard or something.
Run around.
And he was a very handy bowler too. A handy in-swinger.
Yes.
Stock in-swinger.
Yes, was once bowling and took a hat-trick to win a semi-final with only a run to go.
Right, was that Andrew bowling that?
That was Andrew, wow. Yes. That was. Okay, Ian was a great bowler as well. Again, ungainly action. We called him the big horse. Ran in like a Clydesdale trying to run at the Melbourne Cup, really.
Harsh. But yeah, he was my coach.
I was harsh. It's the only way he could get him going. So he made the most of his ability. Could make it bounce off a length. That's all he could do. Shout out Ian. He'll go as hard as me. In fact, the only time I've been reported on a cricket field was for actually sledging Ian Shattuck.
thought it was Andrew.
No, no, you needed to sledge him to get him going. Yeah, come on, you big horse. Trundle in. Get it going. Get those knees up. Rah, rah, rah. Get it off a length. Rah. Anyway. Oh, I mean, some people think it's a miracle that I've only been reported once. Yeah, in 30 years of
cricket. Know how to push the boundaries.
Look, there's a bit of white line fever there. Partly this whole podcast is based on that premise.
Well, that's right, so you're not doing it on a Saturday.
It's me working out where the line is, just like the Aussies have been the whole last year. You know, what's the line? When do you cross it? Who knows? Who tells? Who gets to say what it is? Often the person sledging is not the best person to tell in the heat of the moment. That's why I do this podcast. But in all my appalling behaviour on a cricket field over the years, the only time an umpire's ever reported me was for abusing my own player. I was saying, I have to umpire to get the best out of him. So shout out to Ian Shattuck. Great that you were umpiring our under-11s the other day at Caroline Springs.
That's nice, isn't it?
And you're the one drawing the line.
That's right. And some Blackie North boys who've come west side to continue their cricketing stories, which is great. Look, speaking of going a little bit over the top on a cricket field, we won't go into the whole story, but I did have to tell you to go out to deep mid wicket on Saturday just to have a little calm down.
Well, yes, the Occasionals have been back in action.
We have.
And not a lot of cricket has been played. First 11 on turf's only played half a game for the whole of October. Thankfully, the synthetic. It's the reason we had a thirds. Extinction Rebellion. Renewing the Barclay Street Uniting Cricket Club. And the good thing about synthetic is sometimes you can get a game in when you can't on turf.
That's right. And it was good. We've had three games. Well, we should have had three games. We had one game where they pulled out at 5-12 because they didn't have enough players, which was a bit disappointing. But
the old October walkover, the racing carnival walkover.
Yeah, or just that they haven't quite got enough players yet. Walkover, I think. You know, which is something that is part of the Park Cricket Odyssey markets. Can you get 33 names on a piece of paper?
Or 22.
In a Saturday, or 11.
Or 11. Or just 7 that you need to start the game.
That's right. So thankfully, we've done okay in that regard so far. We'll see how we go this Saturday. Hopefully, we'll get out on the park.
So that effectively means that after three rounds, we're 2-1.
We are.
The occasion.
Yeah, because we won on Saturday. Hooray!
That's outrageous, Chris. This is after I made a plea at the association to say that, meeting at the start of the year, that as a newly entered club, that we were not serious about playing finals.
Yes.
Mostly because I want places I've got to be in March.
Yeah, you've got to go to Harrow in March. Yeah, no, look, I am looking at those dates going, oh, yes, we probably shouldn't forfeit finals. That's generally not looked sort of too nicely upon. But we probably need to think about that.
Well, it made me think. I mean, this victory on the weekend made me think about, you know, our relationship to the opposition. There was, I mean, it was cricket was of an interesting standard, and so was some of the argy-bargy that happened. Speaking of lines and where they're drawn and how this size, it was a fun day's park cricket. It had a little bit of everything for everyone.
Yeah.
Yes.
There was a little bit of tension there for about 30 seconds that we diffused. And it was a couple of interesting moments that also occurred that could have been, you know, got a little bit more heated, but didn't.
I thought you did very well in your Captain Grizzly role.
I did get pretty grizzly there for about 15 seconds or so.
Mostly you were the captain telling me to go to the other end of the ground
field. That so was half of what I had to do. And the other half was asking the captain to, you know, of the opposition to pull his head in a little bit, which he did, and it was fine.
Yes.
After, you know, he told me to pull my head in at one point as well. So it's all good. It's all part of park cricket.
Negotiating the line.
That's right, where the line is. And
mutually.
It's a moving line at times in the midst of a match as well. So it's always it's always part of the fun of it all. But look, really fun game. And we've got to tell the story around selection. So one of the games got the seconds. The first was a walk. Their pitch didn't get up. So that opened up selections a little bit. So some of the first players played for the twos, which meant that some of the twos could come down and play for the thirds. So we had Farney.
Yes, Farney Coley. Fast Farney, call him.
And Sammy Roberg.
An Indian marvel.
Came down.
I love Farney Coley. Great bowler in summer. Of Indian descent.
And you could call him, you could have the nickname either De Villiers or Virat.
Fast Farnie or Virat Kohli. He's the mix between both.
That's right.
He's the Virat Kohli.
Very polite young man.
Well, he's the Virat Kohli of bowlers in the sunshine.
Yes.
Fair to say.
Yeah, no, he did. He opened the bowling for us in the rain, which didn't go so well.
It takes a little while to warm up.
But when he came back at the end, he bowled very well at the end. Took four for in the end, which is great. We had Sammy Roberg, who opened up the bowling as well.
Yep.
Bowled five really good overs early. Was unlucky not to get a spell at the end, but we just stuck with the bowlers who were doing well at the death. Mm. Ben Woodsy come down and play thirds, which I personally think he should be playing with us every week, Paul Woods. But, you know, the twos need him, so that's fine. But he is, you know, a stalwart of the old fourths that we played in 12, 14 years
he
ago.
He won the seconds bowling last year, mate, and I don't think we're getting him back, really. But it was nice to have him down for a game.
He took two for, I think. Bowled seven overs.
Mm, yes.
Did very well. Very handy overs early on. Who else do we have? We had Benny Dixon back down, who had a good trundle, have a slight injury, which held him back later in the game. But
Dave Golner playing his first game for the club.
Yeah, spectacular.
News, yes. Friend of the LJ.
Featherstone.
The feather and the stone. LJ. Good to have them both down. And significantly, Jeff Law.
Very significantly. I was saving the biggest announcement for last. So we did have a player pull out at 12:30, which is always good fun at park cricket level. So what did I do? I rang the chairman of selectors, Jeff Law, and asked him what I should do.
Park cricket administrator.
And club I said, secretary. Well, what are you up to, Jeff? You're not playing today. Oh, I'm down. I said, well, have you got anyone else for me? No, not really. So I said, get the whites, mate. So he drove back to Werribee, or Hoppers, picked up his whites, made it to the ground, and bowled very, very, very well. Fielded very, very well. Been, very influential.
Been playing since he was 10 years old. Yes. Had just had a week off in time.
60th.
His only week off in cricket ever, I think. There was a wedding once. He was in hospital one Saturday morning, and still made the game.
Yep.
Yes. In 50 years, he hasn't missed many Saturdays. But yes, hasn't played on synthetic for a very long time. And great to have him down.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun with him. Bowled very well. Closed out the innings. Took out a couple of wickets. Took out a wicketkeeper. speaking of Dave Golan, look, we've got to give a shout out to Dave.
Mm.
But actually, before we get to that, let's talk about LJ. So Dave's mate LJ, because the stories are interrelated. So they've been coming down the training regularly, both keen to have a hit, gave him a run in the thirds, lost the toss, was put into bat in the drizzle, which I would have chosen a bat, as I generally do. Mm. I don't win many tosses, so it was nice to get put in.
Mm. Yes.
And I was looking around my batting lineup and thinking,
this is the problem with winning the toss and batting.
And, looking at your list, LJ is not going to bowl, not a big bowler, not keen to bowl, wanting to make sure he gets a good run, hasn't played yet this year because it's been a lot of wet weather. How do I make sure he gets a good run in a one-day game? And I said, LJ, why don't you have it open? He said, no. Why don't I bat four? I said, no, why don't you open? Which he did. So he opened with you.
Good captaincy, Chris.
M. Kerno, LJ going out to bat first. Mm. I would have to open the umpiring.
Mm.
Marcus Kerno facing.
Now, it's fair to say LJ is not the best runner between the wickets, mate. Which did emerge after the first couple of deliveries.
First delivery, I think it was.
I think I hit the first one for four, didn't I?
Did you? Okay.
I hit the first one to four. And, in Marcus Kerno fashion, I'm no smasher. So when I've hit the first one for four, what's a batsman like me do? Going to hit the next one for a single.
Yes,
four
that's
and
right.
one. It's like I coach my kids,
That's
one
it.
One for four, then get down the other end, have a little pray, have a little think about it. Don't let it go to your head. Don't go nuts.
Oh, I'm a bit more. I'm hit one for me and another.
You're only two balls into the innings.
That's right, yep.
So point was very deep, safe to say.
Yes.
Like,
saving two.
Really? So second balls, again, it's outside off. I've just done a nice little deflection. Open the face.
Ella, my trying to get off the mark in the first match. Quite a similar shot.
Out to point now. Yep. Think, geez, I've hit four off the first. Now I'll just get down the other end. Tick it over. And I got halfway down the wicket, of course, and LJ still standing there. He's not a big runner, LJ. Not real quick between the wickets. He has other strengths. But, his name is Featherstone. He hits it like a feather. He runs like a stone. is nothing I haven't said to his face that I can't say on the podcast.
It's now in a podcast form. Yeah. So.
Well, nothing that I haven't said to his face actually on the cricket field right then and there. So
well, you did.
And look, I need to apologise to LJ because I was a little bit harsh at that moment. I might have said some things in the heat of the moment, which really wasn't about him. It was more about being a junior coach. And so all of Friday night, I'd seen we had two under-11s games at home, and I had watched as my young charges, they just don't know how to back up, mate. They don't know how to run between the wickets. No, they stand don't. At the end like a stunned mullet. And I literally have to yell at them to take 5 steps out of your crease, move, keep moving. Anyway, you can't yell too much, though, when you're a junior coach because it starts to look a little ugly, you know, and as much as you want to. So it had really built up watching two games at home at the same time on Friday night. I think I was just like, back up! Back, I want that. So anyway, safe to say, when I was halfway down and looking to get off strike for that first signal, I might have just all that emotion pent up with LJ said, mate, back up. In fact, I kept yelling at him, really.
You gave him a coaching lesson in the middle of how to back up with interspersed with swear words in front of the opposition. But in LJ's, to LJ's credit.
Oh, really?
He went, yes, Marcus.
I think I might have said that's not backing up. I require you to take at least 5 steps towards me before you call yes or no on the next delivery.
That was part of what you said. You said a whole bunch of things.
Anyway, the next delivery comes. I'm still at that end.
You were?
Once again, I've just opened the face and deflected it out to deep point. I hadn't moved him in.
No.
Yes.
7-2.
Yes. At which point, LJ...
you did back up, but well, not quite
was,
as much as
it was like 1.5 steps. Yeah. So I did point that out to him after the next ball. That is 1.5 steps. That is not 5 steps. And yes, I think ball 4, he...
He was running down the wicket. Before the guy
Before he achieved the 5 steps. It took to ball 4 to really get the feet going. And look, this is true for any batsman coming in. It's always hard to get the feet going early, particularly if you're LJ Featherstone.
And, you know, first hit of the year and all that stuff
early in the season. A bit like with my bowling mate, Ian Chaddock. Sometimes you need to
rev him up.
Yep. Rev him up a little bit just to get the feet going. There was a bowler running in, bowling like Shats did, or LJ. Trying to get his feet going, between the wickets.
And you certainly got your feet going. You retired at 50, because it's retire 50 in this competition, after 15 overs.
That's right.
LJ kind of got his feet going, and he retired 50 after 33 overs.
He doesn't have a lot of shots, but there is that one where he gets the foot out and hits through it. It's not a bad one.
That's
and
right.
He played it well.
He did exactly what we asked him to do.
First 50 in senior cricket.
Which is wonderful.
LJ, I apologise for... Swearing at you.
Don't apologise, mate.
Getting the feet going.
Probably helped him get his 50.
It probably did.
Anything, he should be thanking you for that, you know, free cricketing lesson on how to back up in the middle of the field.
And now, a word from our sponsor.
This week on the Dragon Cricket Podcast, we're giving a big shout out to our great supporters of the club, great sponsors, Grilled High Point. And one of the ways Grilled support us is by giving us a bunch of awards to give out to our players. And it's the You Did Awesome Award, because awesome efforts deserve awesome burgers. And the burgers are awesome at Grilled. And they give out one of these awards for each team each week. And this week, one of the awards went to Eamon Lacey, who is one of our great players from the under-11 Cub side. Welcome, Eamon. You received the award this week. What did you receive the award for?
For having a big smile and getting my first wicket.
For getting your first wicket and having a big smile. And it is a big grin that you had. And you had a very big grin after receiving the award, didn't you? You enjoyed that. And so we're going to head down and pick, choose out a burger. But what's the really important thing we need to remember to do when we're there?
Wash our we need to put the token in the jar.
That's right, put the token in the jar. If you've been to Grilled before, you'll know that each month they support a few charities and every customer gets a token to pop into a jar. And the jar with the most tokens gets an extra support from Grilled, which this month would mean $500 for the club if we got the most tokens. So big shout out for Grilled. Thank you for your support, but also encouraging all the Dragons to get down the Grilled High Point this month. Enjoy a tasty, tasty burger and those great chips, really nice chips, big juicy burgers, and put a token in the Dragon cricket jar, just like Eamon and I are going to do shortly. And so big thanks to Grilled High Point for their support of the Dragons. And make sure you get down there, support the club, and because awesome efforts deserve awesome burgers.
And now, on with the show.
All right, boys. Welcome to the Dragons. For those, and welcome to the thirds, those who haven't played thirds for us before. Auspicious occasion. Great to have club legend Jeffrey Law here. First time playing synthetic cricket for 15 years. First time playing thirds ever.
There wasn't synthetic turf when he last played.
No, that's right. It was matting. It was proper matting.
It was matting.
Proper matting.
They shipped it in from like Kashmir or something.
Awesome. Awesome. Awesome to have Jeff here. That's exciting. Great to have LJ here and Dave here. Dave's first match for the club.
Well done, Dave.
Good to have you. Got Tharney down here too, playing his first game for the thirds. Woodsy is first game for the thirds with me as well.
Sammy Roberg out of the bushes.
Sammy Roberg as well. So great to have you guys here.
Ready to field.
Slasher in the bushes.
I like it.
Shout out to LJ for his first 50 in senior cricket. Well done, LJ.
Well done, fella.
It took to the 33rd over to get it, but you did very well there, LJ. Well done, mate. And Pete Curnow. Getting his 50 today as well. Well done. Marcus Kuno. His 50 today.
Thank you.
Well done, Marcus.
Thank you.
We have the fun premiers each and every year here in the thirds.
Yep.
We do like to enjoy our cricket. Hope you had fun batting. Let's have some fun bowling. Let's do that by bowling in the right areas, backing up our bowlers in the field, and let's defend this 180. We've got a very defendable total, but we need to bowl well, field well. Marcus, our bar, do you got any words for us?
Yeah, come on, everyone in. Just got to do the pre-game toast here. Just nice and warm. Well done, Feather.
Thanks, mate.
Great, first ever 50. That's fantastic. You did cop me yelling at you there, the opening one. I was just frustrated because I had the under-12s, for last night, and they didn't run. So, you didn't run that first one, so I'll let you know about it. So sorry about that. Speaking of under-12s, I was a bit cold today. I didn't have any gear, so I only had an under-12 box, but it's all right. It's so cold, there's so much shrinkage, it didn't really matter. So sorry if I yelled at you, my box was too small, but actually, it was so cold. So tonight, the occasion, we are the occasionals. We're going out there, all right, in our own good time. We'll go out there. We are the occasionals. The occasion this weekend is Diwali, for the Indians. Kohli's here ready, so let's be thinking about that. We're thinking about, they worship Ganesh, is it? Or Kartik or something? Someone else?
It's a festival of lights.
Some of Kali, God of Destruction, our Barclay Street God of Destruction, is our first 11 captain. He's the Punishama. Punish, the Punisher. Yeah. And he's not here, so we're shouting out to him. We're freezing our tits off here, but we're thinking of Punish, who's not here. He's in Bali. So put your hands in. Put your hands in, boys. Warm them up. Warm them up. We're thinking of Punish. All right. So say after me. Arise, you purple dragons.
Arise, you purple dragons.
Feel the fire.
Feel the fire.
Those warming lights of Diwali. We're thinking of Punisher, Diwali in Bali.
Diwali in Bali.
Go, dragons.
Go, dragons.
Don't break your phone.
What are you doing?
Swinging like a dummy door.
So we're honouring Dave Golner here. This is the whole point of this conversation. He's done okay with the bat. Yes, I'm on the rev, so I'm I'm into Christian spirituality, so a lot of that's the word made flesh, mate. So you've got to honour
Christmas.
You've got to. I often say, John, you know, chapter one. I have a deep theology of
in the hope, beginning of was the hope, word.
Hope being where your ass is. It's made flesh. So get your body to the game. And Dave's done that. He's been to pre-season training. He's bought the gear. He's physically there. Hope is where your ass is. Your ass is right here. You've got the gloves. You're wicket-keeping for the occasionals.
So Dave Golder, it's kept for, I don't know, probably 25-odd overs. He's kept for us.
Did all right.
Yeah.
Did all right. Good hand-eye. Probably still working on the feet.
On the footwork.
And a bit of the technique.
Yeah, but didn't let through a lot of buys.
Got a bit of advice just in terms of where to stand coming up.
And the spinners were getting a lot of bounce on this pitch.
Yeah, it was one of those old. So
anything that got to high level or higher as it came up.
That's pretty hard for any keeper.
Yeah.
Let's face that's right. it. On any wicket. But yes, there was a bit of that old synthetic rubber based wicket.
Yep.
So there was a bit of bounce in it, even for the spinners.
Yes.
Jeff Law bowling up a storm at one point.
Ripping it out of the rough.
Yes.
It's all rough on synthetic.
Yes. So Dave may have caught one in the nose.
He did.
At a critical point of the game, really.
Yeah. Claret everywhere. A lot of blood.
Mm.
And one of those amazing moments where he's the one being hit in the face and he's apologising to me, to everyone that will listen on the way off the ground while blood is pouring out of his nose. And you never feel like so much like a bastard when you're looking at someone who's playing cricket for, you know, for your team, and you say to him, hey mate, you probably should go to hospital, but I've got to finish this cricket game. Hey, you're right to sit there for a little bit longer until we can get you to the doctors.
You were lovely. I thought you were wonderful as captain.
You walked
him off the ground and You've got the ice pack.
I probably should have taken him to the
ice pack on his
straight
face.
Away.
No. I was out the back, on the middle with Jeff Law going, get back on the ground, you. What are you doing? He'll be right. He's not going to die.
I know, yeah.
There was a lot of blood.
There was.
Safe to say.
There was blood on the pitch,
to use a Jeff Thompson phrase. Jeff Thompson would have been proud.
Yeah.
He would have been loving it. It was a bit like a Tarantino film for a while there.
Yeah. And it did remind me of, I think I've told this story before, of the junior guy I played with. Who did a Dave Golder?
Came
to training 2 weeks.
Bought some keeping gear.
Not necessarily keeping, but got his whites the full gear.
Right.
Been working on the nets, working on fielding. Finally gets his chance to play because there was 15 kids that could be picked from or whatever. So he gets his chance.
Yeah.
He's been taught how to go down for the ball, you know, get your knee down, get him behind the ball. First time he's feeling it mid off. Nice, safe place to field. First match.
Good cider.
Good, gets hit firmly enough at him, goes down perfectly, it's rolling on the ground, hits a divot, pops up, smacks him right in the nose, blood everywhere.
Lord.
Coach is taking him off to get to the hospital, never seen again.
That's his end of his cricket.
Well, I don't know, hopefully it wasn't, but it was certainly his end of his cricketing for the Blackburn North United Church Cricket Club.
Well, it's true, we did an interview with Perrin Kerno, who copped one in the face.
He did.
A freak accident at training.
Yeah, that was much worse
than this one, but has made a comeback since. So, yes, shout out to you, Dave Golder. We're hoping you're feeling all right.
LJ said he was doing okay the next day, and you know, hopefully we'll see him back down.
We really would love you to keep working on your keeping, because I don't really want to have to do it. In fact, I was a bit miffed, I've got to say. There was a bit of argy-bargy with the opposition. The game was dragging on a bit. It was a horrible day. There'd been rain and sun, and there was wind. It was terrible conditions for cricket. We were 30 overs in or something. I was just like, I want to get this game done. So I remember trying to just rip the gloves off him, sort of in frustration that, oh my God, here's another hole that I've got to fill. Now I've got to keep again. I had been hit for 2 sixes bowling as well. So,
and dragged.
That hadn't gone that well. So anyway, I think...
I dragged the rev.
Now I'm keeping. So I went, I'm trying to get his gear off. You're looking after him. You're being nice. You're being captain. All that stuff. I'm angrily trying to get your gear off. Come on, I'll get it on. And I'm, I'm sticking on his gear thing. Let's get the game over. Come on, let's get it done. And yes, I'm looking at the gear and it's covered in blood. There's blood everywhere. And so I've got him on going, oh, hang on, I can't wear these. It's going, great, more time wasted. So I throw the gear off, run off the ground, chuck it off, run to my kit, throw on my pads and a box and we had some other gloves there. So and it was just a moment. I've never worn a helmet wicketkeeping before, but I just witnessed what had happened. And it was a bouncy pitch. And I think I could see that just from technique-wise, yeah. Having kept a lot in my time, you know, going, oh, Lord, that's not easy. And so I looked at the helmet going, I've never worn a helmet keeping, never really been into it. Of course, Boucher from South Africa lost his career, you know, once the bail flicked in the eye. And I think it's they're discussing at MCC level now that's compulsory for keepers to wear protective gear, somewhere the baseball catches.
Yeah, which I think the catches mask.
Catches mask, it's funny because when you're squatting, it's one thing to wear a batting helmet, batting, standing up. But when you're squatting low, it
and you don't really need the protection on the back of the head.
Uncomfortable, anyway.
It's more of a face protection that you
need. So I was thinking, oh, I don't know. But then that image of just this blood-stained cricket gear of the beautiful, pure first gamer was just stuck in my head. You know what? I'm going to grab the helmet.
Yeah, I was happy to see it.
Whacked it on, ran out there. Mostly I was thinking, if I get hit as well, this game's just going to keep going. I want it to be over. Yes.
And we were a fielder down at that point. I thought we had Ashish Narula came down after the twos played.
He did.
And I thought he was still there going, oh, please, jump on the ground. He wasn't. He'd already gone home.
Gone home.
Yeah.
Couldn't keep him interested.
Yeah. He did get yelled at for standing on the field at one point in his whites. Oh, that was pretty funny. He was talking to you standing on the field.
We were just catching up. Yeah. It's more interesting than the game.
Just do it, get off the ground while you're doing it, maybe.
Within another over, Jeff Law, had bowled the ball off a length, literally jumping up into the air trying to get it. Balls were hitting my body. It was a tough gig for Dave to wicketkeep. It would probably have been unfair making him keep for the first time ever.
Make him keep.
We were honouring him.
I couldn't have stopped him.
So within an over, the ball had literally come up off a good length. I jumped up high trying to catch it. Gloves in front of my face. Couldn't get there in time. Whack! Ball lodged in the grill of the lid.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Never happened to me before.
It was right in the middle too. It would have conked you right. Between the
it
eyes.
Would have taken my nose out. Yeah. There would have been blood everywhere. Yeah. It was literally right there where Dave copped it. So at that moment, I was very glad that I chose to put on the
wedged,
lid.
It was wedged in there too.
I
was worried we were going to get the ball out there for a moment.
I had went to Jeff Law, who went to grab the ball, and he couldn't.
Mm.
So there's, with a 60-year-old a gun cricketer in his day... Yeah. Playing synthetic for the first time in 15 years. Helping us out because someone was short at 12:30. Someone didn't show. He's there with me in a headlock in the middle of the pitch trying to get the ball out. We needed a bloody can opener to literally get the ball out of the lid. And so shout out to Dave Golner.
He's back. Hope he's back. Probably the only other moment of note was the run out.
That was match winning. I mean, it was coming down to the wire in this game. It was close.
There was a number of moments. It was
critical.
It was
critical moments. Yeah, some catches had gone down. It was important to take a wicket. Their captain.
He was just getting going.
Yeah, he was getting going. Mm. It hit a few boundaries.
And he was probably the only one that was hitting Jeff, like getting after Jeff a bit.
Yeah. We were tying down. Yep. The retirees had gone out and we were tying down the middle order.
A few juniors were quite happy to see the ball outside off stump and
he
not
came
going
in.
Out.
Yeah, he wasn't a small fellow.
No.
Save to say.
I'm not a small fellow either.
I couldn't stump the bloke because Jeff Law was just bouncing him into my helmet and above my head. And I think I jumped and it's hit me in the shoulder. But I had no idea where the ball was. So I was out as a wicketkeeper. I was looking around. I was walking around. I went on a little walkabout. Head spinning around, disorientated. Where did the ball go? Is it going to land on me? Is it close? Looking high, looking low, looking around. At some point, after looking for what I thought was quite some time, I remember looking up. And there is Captain Grizzly in full flight. It has to be said.
Like a train.
Whatever we want to say.
Like
about
a runaway train.
The Featherstone running like a stone. You had some momentum up. It was like,
right.
Holy crap, here comes Grizzly. And like it was Jonty Rhodes-esque.
Oh, good on you. Anyway.
Well, to get the body down low for the ball. Yes. And
Little flick underarm.
A little flick underarm, whilst running full tilt. I mean, you're hitting the ground at the same moment.
Yeah, I did. I landed heavily. It's fair to say. So did the batsman. And so the two of us, we did set off a little earthquake in the Bahamas somewhere.
Well, the batsman obviously has seen the ball deflect and is obviously picking the fieldsman.
Yeah.
Saw where you're coming, thought maybe there's one here. Now, I don't know. You're no small unit.
No. I'm a big man.
Grizzly, but safe to say that
he was a little bit bigger.
The opposition batsman was double your size.
Nah, I wouldn't say he's that big, but he was a big man. It's fair to say.
Anyway, some time had passed by the time I'd located the ball and witnessed this, and I wasn't even near the stumps because I'd gone wandering off. It had been so long from the ball hitting me to you falling over, flicking it, that I just didn't think anything of it. I was just laughing at you. That's right.
You were laughing at the whole situation. I remember looking up and you just laughing.
But I remember...
you've hit the stumps.
I remember turning around and the ball has hit the stumps and going, oh, that's funny. And then looking at the square leg umpire who raises his finger.
Let's just say it was two slow... You know, what Marcus is trying to say, it's two big slow men who had a moment on the cricket field and the Grizz won.
Oh, my goodness.
He didn't make his ground. The stumps are over.
I couldn't believe that anyone having set out for a single not made their ground in that time.
I got a high five from Jeff Law, which is nice. Nice fielding, Chris. High five.
Well, it turned out to be critical in the course of the game.
That's right. He didn't quite make up for the drop.
He wasn't great at running, but he could smash a boundary.
Yeah, he was doing so.
So
yeah, he was on his way. So look, that was that match. So we won by 20. Odd runs, I think, in the end, their openers came back in.
Came down to the wire.
Fast Farney came bowled very well at the end. He probably bowled a little bit too well, for tactically speaking.
He took out all their lower order.
Kept bowling these guys, and I said, oh, if you could just stop doing that. And he actually turned to me and went, oh, sorry. Which is sad. I don't want that to happen.
It's funny. I want retiring, like low-grade park cricket, where the retirees go off and then come back at the end. There is an incentive for the lower order to throw their wicket away.
And I don't.
When runs are required.
I was thinking about that afterwards, and I don't think I'm ever going to ask my team to not try and take wickets again.
You get the retirees back in and you get them out. Get them out.
Win the game. Because I was thinking that.
That's the spirit of cricket.
At no point at my level of cricket do I want someone to turn to me and apologise for taking a wicket.
No.
That's not a good thing.
No, that's not in the spirit of the game.
We should be celebrating every single wicket.
Fast Farney went from bowling. He was none for 30 off two overs. He was bowling in the cold.
The only opening bowler I've ever played with who asked to come off after one.
He opened the bowling and asked to come off
after one. And I said, no, you're the opening bowler. I'm not going to insult you or me or cricket by taking you off after one over. To which he just laughed and shrugged.
Safe to say he's a bit of a fair weather player. You know,
he likes the sun.
Actually,
that's right, which is good.
Sorry,
cricket's a summer sport.
He said, sorry, it takes me a while to warm up. It's going, no crap, like the whole of winter season competition.
It was drizzling, it was cold and wet, but
he won the bowling last summer and he couldn't hit the pitch for all of winter.
So he won the bowling and Woodsy won the bowling, or did he win the bowling for the
runs? Oh, I don't know.
How many people won the bowling? How many bowling awards are there, Marcus?
No, it was a bowl-off, mate.
It was a bowl-off.
Super over.
Farney and Woodsy.
It was a close thing, I think it's safe to say.
But, you know, late in the game, I was looking around at my options. Woodsy had bowled tight. He was bowled out.
Mm.
Jeff was bowling down one end. He was doing quite well. Ben Hickson bowled well, but had done an injury on his knee. Couldn't bowl. AK had bowled an over of pies. You had bowled over of pies.
Oh, but he was retiring. Oh, look, don't start me.
And I was looking around, who am I going to bowl? And then Farney said, hey, Chris, give me the ball. And I went, okay, that's good. I like confidence.
You wanted.
Got to honour that.
Hope is where your ass is.
Threw in the ball.
I think that's the name of this episode.
Yeah, he did very, very well. Bowled really tight. Took important wickets and kept it tight. So, yeah. So, look, great to get a win. Off the bat, we did get a forfeit. We got flogged a little bit. Oh, no, we didn't get flogged. We got one partnership out of being close in that first game. And that's what we had this time is yourself and LJ put on a partnership of 70-odd. And then he put on a couple more partnerships too of 50-odd, I think. two more, 50 odd, yeah, something like that, 40 now, odd, and it did well.
Now, a whole bunch of this podcast, mate, is about, you know, the male identity issues that do arise in park cricket. And we've already hinted in this episode about me crossing the line, or white line fever, you know.
Yes.
And asking questions at different points. In terms of behaviour, that's one of the reasons we're doing this podcast, perhaps. Mm. So there was a couple of moments of controversy in the game.
Yeah.
Safe to say, which I think is relevant to any park cricketer listening in to the podcast. Just how did we deal with that? Or how did you deal with that as Captain Grizzly?
Well, the first one was a bit of a storm in a teacup, but it related to the second one.
Never feels like it at the time, yeah, Chris. So
there was an umpire who... It's fair to say probably wasn't overly experienced or overly confident.
This can be a problem.
Yeah, it can be, you know.
And we know this. As captain of the team, you're trying to get a batting order with no one who can bat, a bowling order with no one can bowl. You need a scorer and an umpire, often with people who can't count or know the rules of the game.
Yeah.
And yet the game has to go on.
So I generally...
We play cricket in spite of...
Open the umpire. It's a position I think
nothing
about.
Nothing required for a cricket game to take place.
Yeah. So it is a position I do think about, opening the umpire and who's going to do that. And I try to do it. I try and do it positively and set a bit of a tone for the match, particularly if we're batting first. Hopefully
yes.
It can, you know.
Yes.
So you let it out. You let
As opposed to your opening batsman who's hurling abuse opening batsman.
That's okay.
That's why it was good you were on the umpire out
that's
there.
That's okay. But, you know, the odd one down leg, you know, you go, we'll let that one go, you know. You know, the first wide one down leg.
A bit of generosity to the opposition.
And announce it so everyone can hear. You know, okay, how we're doing it. Hopefully their captain hears that that's the kind of tone of the match that we're wanting to set. I'm not going to go too hard, too early. We're not playing for sheep stations, things like that. So I try and do that. I welcome the batsmen to the match. Isn't that great? And I say things like, isn't that great that we're playing cricket? Isn't this fun? You know,
even though it's raining and
we're surrounded by silos and, you know, in sunshine.
Cones have all blown away in the wind and...
You know, we could be anywhere, though, but we choose to be here.
The weather was so bad, I was getting sunburnt and saturated at the same time.
Yeah.
It was one of those terrible Melbourne spring days.
I'd go get the wide brim hat for the sun and for the rain, you know, to keep it off my face. So, look, their umpire, you know, fair to say, there was one moment where there was a wicket. We weren't sure how many balls were left in the over. The umpire had called it over. We asked, are you sure? Do you want to check what the score is? He went, I'm sure it's over. And we all moved into position. And then the score is called out. There was one ball left in the over. And generally speaking, when I'm umpiring, I just wave at the scorers and go, well, we're in position.
Continue
the game. I called over.
I'm the umpire. It's my game. And score the game, I'll umpire.
And I might add a seventh delivery to the next over just to make, you know, so nobody's losing out. Yeah, all good. We're the batting team. They were the batting team, so it does affect them, you know. So you don't want to lose too many deliveries because it can be. But you know, one of our players
just throw in a seventh next over. Great suggestion.
Yeah,
one of
our players had a conversation with the umpire about that and who was running the game. Wasn't the scorers, which is a perfectly reasonable thing to
ask. That might have been me.
It may have been you
from the boundary.
Yeah, and it may have been quite loud and a little bit insistent, but that's okay. It wasn't unreasonable, but it probably set the opposition off a little bit. They felt like... And what they were saying was both unreasonable and said with a level of venom and that made me, turn full grizzly. So you probably didn't need me saying what you said, but their reaction was both silly in that they said, well, it's his first time ever umpiring, leave the guy alone. To which my response is,
inspire confidence.
Yeah, don't put the guy out to umpire the game if it's his first match ever. Put him at square leg so he can learn a bit about umpiring. Mm-hmm. And then don't swear and call my players names, which is what I act up the most.
Sorry, Grizzly, sorry.
That's okay.
I did withdraw.
You did.
Quickly.
You did. And when their captain came out, to bat, I shook him by the hand saying, we're all right, aren't we? And he said, yeah, we're fine. You know, so we dealt with it.
It was all fine until the next over when a batsman was clean bowled. And yes.
Well, what the next? That was a few overs later. But yeah, a guy was clean bowled and decided not to walk.
It was stunning in its cricket audacity.
Yeah, that's right. And
it only seemed like a young lad. I mean, I understand, you know, the classic cricket, WG Grace.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he was no WG Grace. I mean,
No.
You know, we all know he got bowled once and put the bails back on and kept batting.
It's a slightly different era.
And he had a, you know, he had an authority about him that came with being the best cricketer in the world for a long time.
Yeah.
That could get away with that without anyone batting an eyelid. Well,
part of the challenge was that there were no bails at that end because it had been windy earlier.
Ah, yes.
And the umpire decided to take the bails off because they kept falling off.
The leg stump had been knocked half
out of the ground, I understand.
Mate. It was like...
And he'd left the ground because of change of umpires and took the bails with him. So when the wind dropped back down, we couldn't put them back on. So that was one thing I was dealing with.
Oh, right.
The second thing was, yeah, the ball was sort of halfway out of the ground, the stump. So it definitely hit the wickets. But the umpire, who's the same gentleman that you had an altercation with a couple of hours earlier, yes, was umpiring and decided to back the batsman and say, no, he's not bowled, he's not out. And their square leg umpire, who probably should have been the central umpire, he was their best cricketer. He retired at 50. He opened the bowling. He was a good... And he obviously played a fair bit of cricket. Probably should have been doing central. Had a sheepish look on his face when I asked him what had happened. And he wanted in and was trying to deal with it without overruling his teammates.
Yes.
I get that. You know,
okay.
Do you have the authority to go in there and say, hey, you got bowled, you know, let's get on with it. So well, then I'm discussing with their captain. He's scoring. He didn't see it. Because, you know, he was bowled around his legs, which, again, can be hard to see when you're, you know, a long way away.
Jeez,
what does the square leg think? And I'm trying to explain, well, I think the square leg might think it's out, but he probably doesn't want to overrule anyone. You know, he's trying to be a good bloke about stuff.
Right.
And so...
It's good you were captain that eventually, day, mate. You're being very generous, I reckon. There's a leg stub half out of the ground. And
eventually...
The umpire's not giving it out. And the batsman won't walk.
The square leg did. And another guy came out, because we asked for the umpire to change... Over the central umpire, we asked for a new one, which we're entitled to do as the fielding team. And a new umpire came out. He got everyone together and sort of said, mate, you're bowled. You're out. And so he came out. And after the game, I think the young man was still feeling like there was some conspiracy against him. you know, I think he felt like the keeper...
You're not WG Grace. I can understand WG. He's getting paid thousands of dollars, thousands of pounds to play cricket and someone bowls him early. Well, he just puts the bails on and keeps going.
Well,
no
to
one.
Be fair, he didn't put the bails back on. He didn't feel like it was bowled at all. He didn't feel like he got bowled. So, which again, first ball around your legs.
Lord, I said, mate, either he walks or I'm walking here. I'm going. Yeah, well, I was pretty ready to go home, if you couldn't tell. I was wet. I was sunburnt. There's blood all over the...
Yeah,
we
I was trying to not having another altercation wouldn't have been a lot of fun. So look,
if you don't walk when you're clean bowled, mate, there's some things in cricket that you have to draw a line or you cease to be human, my friend.
Well, that's right. Well, the umpire
it
also
ceases to be a game that makes any sense.
If the umpire doesn't give it out when it's clean bowled too, then that's not much fun either. So, look, in the end, it all turned out okay.
New umpire, new batsman, please, or I'm walking. I'm going home.
You didn't need to walk, which is good. We needed you in the field. You were important out in the field. You did have high energy. It's fair to say on Wednesday, on Saturday. I did say to you at the end of the game, maybe you should captain the next one because it might help you.
Look, he can be hard.
Pull your head in a little bit.
Hard to get good umpires in park cricket, and look, we know that because that's true for our team. It could have happened as easily to our team as to any other. We were playing a game the other day, and at the end of the game, there were some of the questions about umpiring. At the end of the game, one of our players said. One of the blokes out there had a stubby. He was drinking whilst umpiring.
Yeah, he had a can of Jim Beam the whole game.
I said, what?
Didn't you see that?
Oh, no. What was that? You keep banishing me to the boundary to...
He had a Jack Daniels.
To keep my comments
can.
To myself.
Or to no, from
that flame any situation.
From the start of the match, he had a Jack Daniels can in his hand the entire game. Yeah.
I don't think that's in the spirit of cricket.
Well,
surely there's a rule about that.
There was guys in shorts and, you know, football boots almost. So,
I said to Jeff Lord, did you know that this was going on? I was out on the boundary. I didn't see any umpire drinking. Like, that's just not on. How could that? He said, yeah, he had a thing the whole game. But he was the best umpire.
He was. He was too. Yeah.
I was like, oh my goodness.
Having the square leg guy.
What are we?
Who gave, I mean, you know, the one moment in the match where the umpire probably could have, you know, square leg's always difficult to give run outs because you don't have, you don't have the TV to back you up, you know. And so he did give out...
just record it on their iPhone, mate.
When we did do the... You know, when I did my underarm flick, he did give it out quite confidently, which was good.
Well, it was out.
It was out, but he, given what happened earlier in the innings, you know, it's not often that you...
And given how much time had elapsed before the wicket went down.
Minutes, yeah.
It's the slowest,
time and, you know.
Slowest run out ever recorded in cricket, mate.
You bastard. We don't want it to feel like we didn't have a good day, because we did have a good day. It was a good day's cricket.
It was a great day's cricket. It was a lot of fun. And
Jeff Law, LJ Featherstone making a 50. Fast Farnie coming back after bowling two overs of pies to bowl like he did. You know, and a win.
And a broken nose and
That blood everywhere. Not so much.
Yeah. It was a debut
for the club in Dave.
It was a fun day. And yes, I did have to have a bit of a soul search at the end of it.
It weren't that bad, mate.
Thinking about, well, some of my own, you know, where do we draw the line when it comes to park cricket, particularly at this level? Why am I taking it so seriously? And my words to the association, now that we're two and one, three games in, going, holy crap, I didn't think we'd be in this situation.
One of them was a forfeit. So we're 1-1. All good.
Oh, dear. Going, oh, my goodness, I really made a big thing at the association about how we were really committed to not taking this seriously and not playing finals. And there I am.
Fighting with everybody. yelling at your teammate.
Yelling at my own teammate. Yelling at their captain. Oh my goodness, what has become of me, Chris Lacey?
Yeah, you probably need to play at a higher level, Marcus, if you're going to keep doing that. It's fair to say. But
I like to say sorry to park cricketers everywhere.
Sorry
for being me.
None of us are in there.
Still not working. Yeah.
Hey, boys. Well done!
Great win. Great win, boys.
Yeah. All right, give everyone a pat on the freaking back. That was a great team effort. Awesome. I'm happy, boys. I'm happy. We batted well. We bowled well. We fielded okay in patches. Sorry, Karen, for dropping that catch. But at the end, we fielded really well. I don't know what happened, but we really came together at the end there and kept it really tight, which made it really tough for them. So 180 is a good score in one day cricket, guys. So well done on the batting. Right? Really
well
good.
Well done.
Yeah. LJ, Marcus, holding the innings together, getting those 250s, and everyone else picking up their bit. Great bowling from Sam Roberg. Perrin Kernow, great three over spell. Farnie at the end. Jeff, his seven overs were fantastic, really helpful. Woodsy bowled fantastic seven overs. Everyone did really well. So
What's with you in the rain? What's with you in the rain, mate? The ball, it starts raining and you go to crap.
Literally bleeding for the team here. We have to take...
That's all right, mate. We got there. It's all right.
He not only batted well, but kept really well too in tough conditions.
Very sloppy. Apologise for the mistake, yeah.
No, you're right. And did you see Jeff almost took Marcus out as well?
Yeah, I know.
So Jeff's new nickname is the killer. Around the club, because he's taken out two keepers in one match.
The punishers in Bali, mate. Diwali and Bali, and there's blood everywhere here.
So well done, guys. Thanks, Steve. There's blood on my shirt too, mate.
I got it.
I believe for you guys. You got something for me, mate?
I just want to give Chris Lacey a round of applause, because although he did drop the sitter, he did redeem himself with the best run out. And I don't know if the earth moved for you, but there was two big fellas going hard at it there, and he came off the winner.
I would have taken me on too, let's face it. Yeah, that's right. But that was nice.
That was probably the game changer, mate. So well done.
Great job, boys. And let's shake these last few hands. And Marcus, can you check the scorebook for us?
Oh, yeah, okay.
Good man. All right. No thanks, guys. If you haven't paid your 15 bucks, give it to AK. Back to the room. Have a drink.
Well, very good.
Did you want anything? Sorry, mate. Did you have anything else?
No, you're good. That's fine. Thank you.
All right, and you and I are off to the Gabba. hanging out with Marty Richards up at Brisbane.
Yes.
That's only a couple of weeks off. So we'll be going for the first 3 days of the Gabba Test. So
if
another
it lasts that long.
Park Cricket Odyssey as we will be on the plane and on the way up there. So looking forward to that. The other big thing that's coming up is the other rev, JJ, Johnny Jensen, the 50-year-old leg spinner from LA, the cage fighter, the bullfighter.
The bullshitter. The reverend, the real rev.
The other real rev, the preacher.
The wrestling rev.
Is here. He's coming to Melbourne.
He's back.
And he's going to spend a Thursday night with us.
He's
a park, training.
Park cricket icon.
And we'll have to do a special episode involving the other real rev, JJ. So looking forward to hanging out with you, JJ. I know you do listen. So I'll be catching up with you soon. Well, that's it for another episode of the Dragon Cricket Podcast. Thanks, Rev. Always a pleasure, mate. So much going on around Barclay Street Cricket Club at the moment. So much happening in this Park Cricket Odyssey.
Mate,
this weekend we get another chance to try and get 33 guys on the park to play cricket. Hopefully it doesn't rain. Not looking good weather-wise at the moment, but we live in hope that we, as in every week, that the Odyssey can come together.
Hope is where your ass is, and as we'll be reporting to grounds, rain, hail or shine.
That's right.
Maybe also in a bathrobe, just to take the covers up again so the grass can grow in the rain.
We really appreciate you listening and being a part of the podcast. Please like it, share it, review it, get it out there. Those things that don't feel like much, just putting the star rating on, but it really does help with the algorithms of the internet for other people to find the podcast. And amongst all the cricket podcasts out there,
we can be
difficult to find. So please do that for us. We really appreciate it. We're always up for hearing about your cricket stories too. So please get in touch either through Facebook or through our email, which is dragoncricket@gmail.com. We'll catch you next time. And may all your cricket stories be good ones. Good cricket, Marcus.
Think good cricket.
It's all about.
Think good cricket. May your cricket moments be beautiful.
You have been listening to the Dragon Cricket Podcast, broadcast from the Barclay Street Uniting Cricket Club of Melbourne's Inner West. Legal disclaimer, the views and opinions contained herein do not necessarily reflect the official position of the Barclay Street Uniting Cricket Club. Brought to you by Cricket Journeyman, who, in a time of Australian cricket crisis, undertook a quest to rediscover the true spirit of Australian suburban park cricket. Arise, you purple dragons, feel the fire, enter your lair of God.